Romans chapter number 11, verse number 7. We'll stand and read. You remember the end of what we looked at last week was in regards to grace. Verse 6 says, "And if it be by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." So then he says in verse number 7, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway." So there's our section for this morning. You read that, it doesn't seem to be an easy, portion of Scripture, does it? Well, let's go to the Lord and ask Lord to be with us and help us here. Father, as we come before you again this morning, we just ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. We ask for understanding. We ask for wisdom. Pray that you would be with us as we are gathered here, that you would certainly speak, Father, unto us. We pray for those of our brethren who are not here this morning. There have been a few that have notified us this morning they wouldn't be able to be here. So, Father, we pray that you would be with them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So in conjunction with what we have just read, I was going to read Isaiah 65, if you want to turn there, the 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And we're not without context, certainly. We've had this passage of Scripture, Isaiah 65. We've had this passage of Scripture mentioned to us in our study in Romans. Paul's brought it up in some preceding verses in the last chapter. Isaiah 65, verse number 1, "I am sought of them that ask not after me." You ever sought somebody you didn't ask? Have you seen so-and-so? I'm seeking them. I'm looking for them. "I was sought of them that asked not after me. I am found of them that sought me not." How are you going to find somebody you weren't looking for? In this context, the Lord found us, right? I said, and this is God speaking here, saying, "I said, I am sought, I am found. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name." So we understand that's us, that's Gentiles. We're not Israel in the physical sense. We've spoken about it, Israel, from the spiritual context in preceding messages. Verse number 2, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good." What's a way that's not good? Well, the next verse the next part of that verse tells us, after their own thoughts. It's not good to walk after our own thoughts. Have I lost you there? Okay, all right, just making sure. They're walking after their own thoughts. Verse number 3, "A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face." Is that a good thing, to provoke God continually? I watch my kids provoke each other, and it doesn't take long, and there's going to be a reaction from one of them. "A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in the gardens," or in gardens, "and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. You know, I'm kind of getting an imagery here of the Pharisees. They were holier than thou. You know, we've used that phrase probably many times in our life about a person being, you know, they think they're holier than thou, you know. Well, here it is right here in Isaiah 65, you know. Come not near me, for I am holier than thou. Verse number 6, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but I will recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Get the imagery here of, here's a people called by God's name, and they're sacrificing to other gods, if we just want to put it simply. Verse number 8, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all, and will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. Now, we read earlier, just going to point this out, in Romans chapter number 11, verse number 7, there were those that did not obtain, in verse number 7, that which they sought for. But here you understand what we've read in the beginning is the Lord saying he was found by those that weren't even seeking after him. In other words, he found them. And then finding them, they are seeking him here in the end of verse number 10. Verse 11 says, but ye, thinking about Israel that's apostatized, are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. And we had David using the imagery of a man bowing down, you know, there in what we read in Romans 11. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose. You see that there? But did choose that wherein I delighted not. So they knew and they did not do that which God had commanded of them, and they did that which God was not pleased with and he did not delight in. When God spake, it says there, they didn't hear. When he called, they didn't answer, but did evil before his eyes. Verse number 13, therefore thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be always hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But ye shall be glad, be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and in joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So you get the picture there, you know, of here's a people that weren't seeking, that were found. Here's a people that the Lord called unto, and they would not hear. So we've got some of the imagery, you know, there in Isaiah 65 that we've been looking at, you know, in our study in Romans. So here you have in Romans 11, verse 7, Israel seeking for something that they did not obtain. Who obtained? It wasn't Israel. Israel didn't obtain. We're talking about physical Israel. It says, Israel did not obtain that which he seeketh for, but the election obtained it. That would be those people that we were looking at in Isaiah 65 that weren't seeking after the Lord. The election obtained it. Those that God had laid his hand upon and said, you are mine. I've chosen you for myself. I'm going to draw you unto myself with cords of love. You know, those that he saved, you know, those that he's converted. So Israel sought, but they didn't obtain. The election wasn't seeking, but they obtained. So as we're looking here at these verses, I mean, the thing that comes to mind is, what are we seeking for? What are you seeking for? Think about the verse that we were looking at this morning. The Lord says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, how about the verse of Scripture that says, you know, that the Lord would give us the desires of our hearts? You could look at that a couple of different ways, couldn't you? And we may have talked about this recently, I don't know. But we could look at it this way. That the desires of my heart be given me for those things that I want to have. I mean, here's things I want, God's just going to give them to me. And we already kind of covered that ground earlier this morning, didn't we? Those things that we want doesn't necessarily mean those things that would be good for us. So therefore, God's not necessarily going to give us those things because those things are not needful. Those things might injure us. Those things might hurt us. Here's the other way. That God would give me right desires. That's the thing, giving us the desires of our hearts. That God would give me right desires, that the desires of my heart would be for what is right, that I would seek after those things that honor God, those things that glorify God, those things that fit, you know, in the category of doing all that I do to the glory of God, whether I eat or I drink or whatsoever I do. So, you know, do all of our desires fit in the context of doing all that we do in that way? Well, for Israel, it wasn't. They were not seeking after right things. They were seeking after their own things. They were seeking after what they wanted. And we have people like that still today that are seeking after what they want instead of seeking after what God desires, instead of seeking those things that God delights in, as we were reading there in Isaiah 65. How about our prayers? What are they like? Can we say that the primary focus is on God, which includes, like, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that our adoration is of him, that our prayers aren't just coming with a laundry list of things that we need God to do, that we desire, you know, of God, and not asking that God would give us right desires. Give us right thinking. How about that? Give us right thinking towards the things that we pray. You know, that I think about the things that I'm praying about in the right way. You know, what would be a right way to think about and pray about something that's happening in my life right now that I think, you know, I would rather not have this. I'd rather not this not be that way. What would be a right way to pray about and think about that? Well, it would sound something, you know, like what the Lord prayed in the garden. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, that's right seeking. You know, here, and why am I bringing this up? Because Israel's seeking and they're not obtaining. Well, if we're seeking for that which is right, for that which is good, is he going to withhold that from us? If we seek that which pleases him? You know, what would some of those things look like? What would some of those things sound like? What do we know about some of those things in Scripture that would be things that we know these things are so? These are things that we ought to be seeking after. You know, what would that look like? Anybody? Something? Anything? Helping to glorify your name in all that I do. Let my speech be seasoned with grace. You know, let the things that come forth out of my mouth please you, honor you, glorify you, be a witness and a testimony, you know, unto you, unto those, you know, around me. Help me to be a light. Help me to be salt in the earth. You know, we could go on and say lots of different things along those lines, but yes, those are the sort of things that if we're wanting our desires to line up with his, I mean, it's right here in his word. Lord, help this to be a reality, you know, in my life. These are the things that we ought to be, you know, seeking after. Israel was not seeking after these things. Did Israel know these things were to be sought after? Yes. They were given God's word. They knew what was to be sought after. They knew what pleased God. They knew what God commanded of them. But what did we kind of read there in Isaiah 65? They were not doing those things. You know, I was reading a passage in Revelation chapter 3, you know, the one about, you know, because you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm, right? What's going to happen? I'm going to spew you, you know, out of my mouth. So, you know, the cold, you know, and would be those that are indifferent towards the things of God. They don't even want to know what God has to say, you know. But here's these people that know and they don't do. Here's the people that know and they do the opposite of. And this, you know, I kind of get this imagery of the what we saw in Deuteronomy, you know, with what God told Israel. Here, I'm going to give you this land, this promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give this unto you. And, you know, these people that are living there now, they're going to be disenfranchised. You know, they're not going to live there anymore. They're going to be driven out and land's going to be given to you. But I'm going to warn you right now, if you do the things those people were doing, that's why they're being driven out. If you do those things, the land's going to spew you out too, going to vomit you out too. You know, so I get that, you know, imagery there that we have. It seems they're seeking after and not obtaining. They want, you know, but you know, they're not getting because they're not seeking in a right way. The Lord said, "I am the way, you know, the truth and the life. There's no other way. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." You know, there's not another way. You know, our salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. We understand that. But they went about seeking to establish their own what? Righteousness, yes. So Christ is our righteousness. They went about seeking to establish their own righteousness. You know, I'm going to do, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to do, and by doing these things, I'm gaining, you know, favor with God. And we understand from what we were looking at last week, that is not a reality. That's not what God's called us unto. Not saying that we shouldn't do good. We should. You know, but we do good to glorify Him. We don't do good to merit and justify ourselves, merit salvation anyway. So, you know, our prayers, is the primary focus on God, which includes our adoration of Him, His worthiness, His glory. You know, prayer, not so much asking for our own needs as what glorifies God, affirming God's sovereignty, His holiness, His majesty, our desires being conformed unto His will. That's where prayer finds us. You know, what are your prayers look like? What do your prayers sound like? You know, are they about you? Are they about honoring God? Are they about what you want or about God's will in your life? You know, so they were seeking something they weren't finding because they weren't seeking, you know, in a right way. And here's these people that weren't seeking at all, God finding them and giving unto them that new heart, you know, that caused them to seek after Him. So, you know, we know from our discussion in Romans last week that none of us are worthy of God's favor. We haven't earned or merited nothing, and we have earned or merited nothing, rather. Our salvation is solely by His grace. Therefore, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. No, we don't get the glory. God gets the glory. So, what are we seeking, and whose glory do we desire? You know, I'm gonna drag before you once again two people. I'm going to drag before you the Pharisee, and I'm going to drag before you the publican. And you got the Pharisee who's standing there praying thus with himself, right? What's he seeking? He's saying, I have done this, I have done that, I've done that. Here's my merits. This is worthy in your sight. This, you know, ought to justify me. Because that was the question the Lord asked. Who went home justified? So here he's presenting these things, saying, this ought to justify me. I have fasted, I have tithed, I've done these things. And then you had the publican who's smiting himself upon the breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was the Pharisee seeking? He was seeking merit. He was seeking to gain something, you know, by his works. He imagined that he had earned something as opposed to the publican, the person who has really become a traitor to his own people. You know, he's collecting taxes from Israel for, you know, the Romans. You know, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. Look at all the good stuff that I've done. Look at this guy, you know. But yet that man who smote himself upon the breast and said, God be merciful to a sinner. You know, he gained something that the other one didn't. He had done all these things. He had his laundry list of things that he had done, but he was not justified, and yet the publican, you know, was. He wasn't claiming any worth. I mean, there he is smiting himself on the breast saying, I'm not worthy of the least of your favor. I'm not even worthy that you should look upon me. He's not even gazing into heaven. He claims no worth. He boasted no deed. He simply pleaded, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was his plea. And that man, the Lord said, went home justified. He obtained something that the other did not. Does that not fit in our context? Israel seeking something it did not obtain, but the election has obtained it. So here's Israel, had the word of God, had these things, the blessings that they were given, and yet they were not seeking God in a right way. Who's seeking God in the right way? This publican over here that's looked down upon, this publican over here who's despised. You know, he's seeking God in the right way. He's pleading for mercy. You know, his worth, I almost called out that hymn this morning, his worth was not in what he owned. His worth was not in his might. His worth was not in his deeds. You know, he was boasting, you know, in Christ. He was boasting in mercy. He was desiring mercy and grace is what he was desiring. The Pharisee was satisfied in himself. This man was not satisfied with himself. He would be satisfied only with God's grace and mercy. He could not be satisfied with himself. Yet the Pharisee was greatly, you know, satisfied with himself. What did the Lord call those men? He called them hypocrites, the Pharisees. Said in Matthew 6:5 that when they prayed, they loved to stand upon the street corners. They may be seen of men. They wanted men's admiration. They had their reward. Ezekiel 33:31 says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. That all sounds pretty good, right? I mean, here they've come unto, you know, God as his people. They sit before him as his people, they've come to hear his words, but here's where everything changes. It says, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. That's what they were seeking after. They were seeking after what they would have, what they wanted. They weren't really seeking after God. So what are we seeking? What will we find? Some in our text were blinded, and some were given sight. So we have some people that were seeking after something that did not get it, those that weren't seeking after that did, and you have some that were blinded and some were given sight. So same sort of thing. You know, here they're seeking after, they don't find. Here we're not seeking, we do find. Here's those that should have had sight that were blind, leaders of the blind, and you have others that were given sight that were blind. Matthew 15:1 says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress? Now listen carefully to the next part. It's not the commandment of God, but they transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You know, they had all these things they added to, you know, the law. They were seeking to establish, you know, their own righteousness. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people, and we just read a passage similar to this, didn't we? This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me. You think about that. In vain they worship God. They were seeking something they did not find. They were blind and they did not realize it. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. So what was their first gripe? What was their first complaint? Your disciples are eating, you know, they're eating bread without washing their hands. So he calls the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Yeah, the Lord knew that. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And then, you know, Peter asks for an explanation of the things that have been said, and the Lord tells him that from the heart, the things which proceeded out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. The Pharisees put so much stock in what they did. What do we, you know, what then? Here's this question, what then? They put stock in what they did. We put our stock in Christ. You know, it's by faith in him. Again, it's you know, works versus grace. We know what we're owed outside of Christ. We deserve nothing for but damnation outside of Christ. You know, that would not have been, you know, their estimation of themselves. They were Abraham's seed. You know, they earned, they just because of who they were, you know, they thought that, you know, they could keep the law. They thought that they could establish righteousness. They couldn't see their sin, therefore they had no need of Christ, just like the Lord said to them, you're not sick, therefore you do not need a physician. Remember the rich young ruler, what lack I yet? You know, that was their attitude. I mean, I've done everything. Nothing I lack. You know, so confident, you know, I'll go and open myself up for ridicule. You know, who's got anything against me? You know, what lack I yet? But what a warning there is before us here. There were those who, you know, sought something that they did not find because they did not seek it in the right way. Think about Luke 13, 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You know, the Pharisees were seeking to enter in, but you're not going to enter in that way. You're not going to come in and boast of your works and enter into the kingdom that way, establishing your own righteousness and ignoring, you know, when we get into that passage of scripture, they sought to establish their own righteousness. What comes after that? You know, they refused the righteousness of God, you know, in Christ. They rejected, you know, the chief cornerstone. So how am I going to enter into that straight gate except like the publican over here, by grace, by mercy, in Christ, my Redeemer who died in my place? So they were seeking it the wrong way. They were seeking it by their own works. They missed their Savior and salvation altogether. It's a pretty incredible thing, isn't it, to think about? They had the blessing of God's word, and still they missed their Savior, in contrast to those who weren't even looking for him, and they found him. So how false and full of sin we were when outside of Christ, that we were not even looking for a Savior. He found us, didn't he? So the Pharisees had the very embodiment of truth standing before them. I mean, here is the Lord Jesus Christ in their presence in Jesus' day, and yet they chose their traditions over the truth. You know, have you ever known anybody that's held to their own viewpoint, regardless? I mean, they were proven wrong, but they would not let it go. You know, these were those guys. Matthew 13, 14, and 15 says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, listen what it says, their eyes they have closed. They closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So they closed their eyes, their ears were dull of hearing, their heart was grown dull. That's waxed gross. That's what that means. So a hardening's happened to them. When we think about a hardening, we think about Romans, what do we think about? Pharaoh, right? So, you know, we've already been through, you know, that with Pharaoh, haven't we? I mean, he had all of these plagues, and God did this, and he says, have mercy. And then once God, you know, removed the plague, I will not. Closed, you know, my eyes. Closed my ears. I will not let your people go. Until ultimately God hardened Pharaoh's heart, we know. So what does sin do? Sin corrupts, it hardens, it deceives, it blinds, it makes one dull of hearing, it makes hearts dull towards God. And yet all the while, this publican standing here thinking he is in a good standing with God, he's justified, you know, in God's sight, deceives a person into thinking that he stands in a just position before God. Hebrews 3:7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Seeking, but they're not finding. They're not seeking the right things in the right way. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What were they doing? I mean, here they had God's word, yet they're departing from him. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest there be in any, or lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's that I was saying. What does sin do? It deceives, it blinds, it hardens. Through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he swore, that they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Light rejected produces hardening. Light rejected produces hardening. 1 Peter 2:6 says, wherefore also as it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. There it is. You know, there's our hope. There's our salvation. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them, that's these that have closed their eyes, those that have shut up their ears, that have hardened their hearts, unto them, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto, this is the part here. I mean, listen to this. Whereunto also they were appointed. You know, that's fearful territory there, isn't it? Fearful thing to think upon. You know, humbled when we think how that we have found favor, we have found grace, you know, in the eyes of the Lord. Because we could be in the same position, blind, hardened, asleep at the wheel, you know, so to speak. If we're left to ourselves, what a mercy, what a grace has been shown unto us. Really, we could say it's all mercy, it's all grace. David says, let their table be a snare. You know, that's the reference to an abundant table, abundant of provision. Think about the land flowing with milk and honey. Let their table be a snare. You know, God gave the rain, God produced the harvest. God's blessing was indeed upon them as a people, but blessings can become a curse. You know, they started looking to those things instead of to God. Wow. I mean, you think about Paul and Barnabas when they waxed bold in Acts 13:46, and they said it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from you. So what does that sound like? It sounds like closing their eyes. It sounds like shutting up their ears. It sounds like hardening their hearts. So what it sounds like, seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. In it all, I'll say this and we'll close in prayer, but it's only by the Lord's keeping us. I mean, here's a people that were given, you know, God's word. It's only by the Lord's keeping us that we find ourselves where we are, because we could be just like Pharaoh. God could show us some things and we could close our eyes to them. God could open some things up unto us and we could shut our ears. God could command something of us and we could harden our heart. But we see that God hardens as with Pharaoh, but here this man that's writing this book unto us, that God softens as with Paul. So in the end we say, Lord, have mercy, you know, upon us, like the publican smiting himself on the breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So what grace, what mercy has been shown unto us, that we are not in the same place. I mean, we don't want to think that we're something, that we're somebody. You know, it's only by God's grace that we are what we are. You know, we could be just like these here, just like them. It's all, you know, a matter of God's mercy and a matter of God's grace. We found him and we weren't even seeking him. Yeah, he found us. And here's these people that were seeking after him, but they weren't finding him because they were seeking after him in the wrong way. Their heart had waxed dull. Their eyes had become blind. Their ears were dull of hearing. Well, let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I listen to myself. I was telling Teresa this last week. I'll listen to myself preach from time to time. I can't do it very often. It's very humbling to listen to yourself. I told her, I said, I wasn't really cognizant of it until just now. But I told her, I said, I caught myself saying, over and over again. I don't know if y'all heard it or not, but I did. But there it is. You have to work on it. It's something that presents itself from way too often. Probably say that word more than any other, and that shouldn't be so. The Lord's name should be spoken more than Father, we do again thank you as we come before you for your word. We do thank you for wisdom that you give, Father, for understanding that you possess, that you show unto us, for your grace, Father, that we have not closed our eyes or our ears or hardened our hearts to the things that you say unto us, but that we desire to do that which you've called us unto, that we desire to glorify you in all that we do. We thank you for the meal that's been prepared for your mercy and grace in the provision of it, and for the nourishment that it gives in our bodies. I pray that you'd bless the time together that we spend in fellowship. We again thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for life that we have in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.